Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, you brilliant lot. You're in for a right old laugh out loud here. A lol. Do you remember when people said lol all the time? Anyway, this is a juicy one, so I'll keep my introduction blissfully brief. It is the funniest episode. It's an Easter special with Amy Gledhill and Glenn Moore. Yeah. First, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and for giving us 5-star reviews and for telling everyone at work about Hoovering. Next, please may you go, if you haven't already, to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and consider spending as little as £2 a month funding the future of this podcast in exchange for loads of lovingly created exclusive shit just for my patrons, including things like early and ad-free copies of every single episode. Finally, don't forget to listen to my new stand-up series on BBC Radio 4. I poured my whole heart into making it brilliant. It's called Sturdy Girls Club, and it's all on BBC Sounds right now. Okay, this is such a flipping great one. We recorded it upstairs in the Brewdog. We recorded it live in front of the most glorious audience. Special shout out if you came to see this one recorded. You were ace. And it was part of the always excellent Leicester Comedy Festival, as you're about to hear. Ready your mini eggs.
I've got two amazing guests. Who are you?
I'm Glenn Moore.
Good.
Oh, I'm Amy Gledhill.
I knew it.
And together we are. No.
Very funny. Together you're very funny. I'm very honoured to have you both here. What's going on is we're in a venue that feels like Christmas, even though what we're really in is mid-Feb, and what we're going to do is celebrate Easter.
Great.
Because this episode will go out in the normal world to people who aren't cool enough to come to the live show on Easter weekend. So I've bought a selection of Easter eggs for us to scoff. Let's just tear on in. There's a peppermint Aero, there's a Twirl orange flavoured, and there's a Maltesers. There's loads of smaller eggs, but I'd like to start, please, with a bigger egg because I'm very intrigued to see how both of you tackle the big main egg. I've never done a special Easter egg episode before.
Should we go for Maltesers?
Yes, we'll go for whatever floats your boat the most.
Do we open one each?
Yeah, I want to see.
This is luxury.
Well, because if there's any leftovers, we can take them and soak in the audience. Yes, to serve people right, not coming to live shows. No mini eggs for them. Oh, Amy's just banging it up on the knee. How, did yours come already broken?
It was already broken. It had a slight hole in the top, so it looked like the Death Star. And I just from there was able to sort of pick it out. I think they should all come with a hole.
Oh, what? Like a bowling ball. The listeners will never be able to hear this, but the audience here will know that Amy smashed hers to death upon her knee. Like a kind of, like a bawdy sort of farm wench.
Like slapping, really like slapping nice my thigh, like, good joke, good joke.
Sort of music. And then, Glenn, I didn't know yours was already smashed, so I thought that you had, like, the force of a ninja within one finger and had been able
to... Oh, I did Kill Bill punch on the egg, yeah.
Yeah, or like you'd like been... You were so clever that you've been able to find the perfect pressure point at which to be able to give it just a tiny tap. Lovely, yeah. I'm having a real old effort getting my peppermint arrow out. Right, oh, okay. How should we do it? I've never done this before. I'm going to drop it from a height.
Oh!
Yes. Satisfying, actually. Really great. Okay, so tell me, do yours taste of the chocolate that they're meant to taste of? Have they gone for a more generic chocolate for the egg itself? Because this is, I've got nostalgic feelings about Easter eggs, and I fear that, I want to get into this, I fear that they used to, like if you got a Kit Kat Easter egg, even the egg tasted of Kit Kat chocolate. Is that what's happening to
this
you?
This is
now?
Definitely a Maltesers egg. 100% tastes Maltesers, yeah. And I don't think that's just confirmation bias.
Right.
I firmly believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Amy, it's well, yours taste of an orange twirl. Have you
it tastes
orange?
Of orange, but there's an orange twirl in here. And for the purposes of science, I'm happy to eat both.
Please.
Yeah. Let's
see whether they're the same chocolate.
Right.
This, I've got mint aero, and it really is defo mint aero chocolate, which actually, without the minty bubbles, is so fine and great. Oh, God.
I appreciate this is a podcast, but I'm really in my own world right now.
You've got to do the right research.
We can take our time.
They're different.
Right. Oh.
I know.
That's a beautiful audience.
I think Cadbury's take the piss. Because they've got so many different chocolates. And I know that Cadbury's on its own tastes good enough, so that they just roll out all their eggs to taste like that, I think. Whereas the others are sort of fighting for their damn lives. I think companies started to care because they... I think back in, like, the early 2000s, they were all the same flavour.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a lottery. It didn't really matter who you got it from, especially... I think once a disappointment came out that the Cadbury's cream egg one isn't filled with cream egg.
Yeah. Oh. Have they ever invented one that does that?
No, they haven't. And the thing is, it's like, I know it would be a bad idea. I know, like... I know it would kill me, but let me find that out for myself. Yeah. They should give you the option to buy it.
I agree. Stop bloody nanny state.
Yeah. Have you tried the white cream egg?
No, but I have got a few.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I've wanted to try one for ages. Best day ever.
Yay. I've also got the Reese's Pieces eggs, loads of normal cream eggs. They've got shitter. I was trying to explain to my son they used to be twice the size. And the inside, I think there was, I'm going to say it, like a way better mouthfeel and an almost like umami. There was like a more, there was something, the fondant inside that looks like white and orange definitely used to be, I don't know how to, I think it's more sickly now. Mm. I think it just tastes of like granulated sugar and fuck all else now. And before, it never tasted of egg. That would be disgusting. It had something.
Mm.
And now it's got nothing. But other than yum yum sugar, yum yum sugar. I don't want to be the only one who gets, if you like mint aero, that.
I don't, but thank you.
You don't like mint chocolate?
No, I don't. Well, it's not the same.
Okay.
It's like, if you have fish instead of meat, you go, yeah, but it's not meat though, is it?
No,
I don't know if anyone would sort of disagree with me on that, but I feel like there's a slight twinge of disappointment that mint chocolate isn't as nice as regular chocolate. And I made the mistake years ago of my parents got me some like novelty chocolate for Christmas. Right. It was like Marmite chocolate, and they were like, "How is it?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's nice." And then they only get me Marmite chocolate now.
Oh,
and
it's like, gross.
Yeah, but obviously so grateful, but at the same time not.
We were talking in the green room. I hope you don't mind me giving away your secrets. And it is a secret, it's not.
Yeah.
So I really like Pepsi Max Cherry, but Glenn's favourite drink is Pepsi Max. So right. I feel like maybe you're, like we said, you're a purist. So maybe you like, do you like chocolate orange?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I do, but that's...
that's fucked my theory. Forget
it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Forget it. I'm going to go back to eating.
It's fine. And thanks for not mentioning the other stuff we were talking about. Other conversations about being a purist about other things, which really can't ever see the light of day.
Do you want some of this chocolate orange?
I'd love some of the orange one, yeah.
That's really amazing.
Good.
Yeah, it was absolutely my cue to speak again then, and I was too busy eating that.
Also, I very much had these new Kinder Bueno eggs picked up to me. Has anyone been there yet?
May I?
Yes.
What? Oh, I love the way you said it.
Because I only had my first ever Kinder egg just over a year ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Or
what
Kinder Surprise.
Did you have really wholesome... What happened to you?
Marmite I don't know. Chocolate. I think my parents didn't trust me with potential choking hazards even up until the age of 18. but I'd never, it just never came up. And the thing is, the amount of shock people show at you when you say, oh, it's just never come up.
Yeah.
Is baffling. And yet I remember dating someone about 10 years ago who said she didn't eat meat, and I just, because we were dating, it sort of came up a conversation of, oh, why don't you eat meat? And she just went, I just never got around to it. And it was like, well, that's insane. And like, you've had the opportunity. Whereas a Kinder egg wasn't necessarily, you know, always an option.
Come on with this.
Is it really good?
I've bitten it in half and I wish I'd done it in a wanna like a piece of sushi.
I think if that was broken down without the use of teeth, with that level of patience, We've got a conical Ferrero Rocher without the annoying bumps on our hands. That is so good.
Do you reckon Ferrero Rocher have ever made an egg, and did it look horrifying? It looks like it's gone off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's warped in the sun and then reseed. That is the only time I think I'd definitely say it. When chocolate's clearly, like, it happens in the car a lot, doesn't it? It becomes a liquid and then re-solidifies.
Do you know what I've realised?
Orange Yorkie can survive that chemical
change.
Yeah.
Orange is the key. Mm-hmm. I've realised, and I think this maybe says something about me as a person, I've never, ever seen gone-off chocolate. I've never seen it. When you're saying about things going off, it's like, oh, yeah, I've never, ever in my life seen gone-off chocolate.
I don't know. Actually, should we ask the audience? Can chocolate go off?
It goes all white.
It can what?
The fats come off.
It blooms.
Fit word. It blooms. I was going to say it gets white bits on, but that's the fats coming off.
When you say bloom, do you mean it increases in size in certain areas? Like in a Toblerone, does it just fill in?
You've just got like a cuboid.
Yeah, you go, that's better. Yeah. That's better.
That's way more of that. Lovely. But it tastes of dust, doesn't it? And like when that's happened, and it's not great. Guys, have you got any particularly Easter-based eating stories, opinions and or memories? I've written down any hunts / bunnies, part of your origin stories or not?
That's quite a big question, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Do you want me to tell some stories while you think?
Well, we do Christmas at Easter in my family. We do Christmas at Christmas.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Easter was always treated as just another Christmas, so we have a full Christmas dinner.
Do you gift?
We don't gift. We gift eggs. We gift the gift of eggs. But there's crackers and... I think because crackers come in packs of 16 and I was a family of four, so I go, well, this will last us at least a few celebrations. And then eventually you do your St. Swithin's Day crackers as well. we do crackers and everything, but we just never questioned it because it is essentially the same day in terms of like TV and the TV guide having the little fancy trim around the outside for the key days. And then ITV having like a two-part drama about Merlin or something.
Yeah.
So it was like, it just felt exactly the same. So yeah, we just treated it as that. Yeah, it was great.
That's a brilliant thing to do with your Easter. Mm. What about you?
No, quite the opposite.
Right.
We sort of pass Easter and then when the eggs are discounted the next day, that's when we're like, come on!
Even when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got siblings? I can't remember.
I'm the youngest of seven.
Fuck, I forgot
that. So obviously we're not doing Easter on Easter. We're doing it on discount Easter. The real Easter, my mother says. We'll do it on the real Easter.
I love it. But did you not, if there were seven, so you wouldn't didn't do an Easter egg hunt ever?
No.
Did you? And you didn't do that?
But it's not the best way for your parents to be thrifty. But by the end of the day, they just go, you just haven't been looking hard enough.
We've been looking for 10 years.
I love it.
No, I don't think... I just don't think they were, like, organised enough.
Right,
well, it was never... Easter was never, like, a big celebration. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, he had died on the cross, after all. Can't really celebrate.
Oh, yeah. Tell that on the real Easter.
We went quite big on it, but I think it was... It wasn't a religious going big on it. I think it was the love of chocolate and also a family with... enough feeders in for it to be quite a celebratory thing. But so I didn't have any siblings until I was a teenager, but I had cousins who I'm really close with. So we'd all get together and there would be an Easter egg hunt. I've got various memories of that. One, there was one year where I trod on 2 wasps during the hunt.
No.
Yeah, sting on both feet. Don't know why I didn't pop some shoes on after the first incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not the brightest
The famous phrase, once bitten, we go again.
Once bitten, twice bitten. Ooh, hobbly child. But also my cousins, they then got a later sibling as well. But anyway, the boy cousin was like me, that the girl cousin would play us. And so whatever you ended up collecting from the Easter egg hunt, you then distributed evenly amongst... the children. So it's irrelevant, and I've carried that on into with my kid, like if there's more than however anyway. But then what you've got is this situation that feels like a kind of peek into a post-apocalyptic survival or not, is to how quickly you then eat your stash. And the girl cousin would hold out for fucking months in a way that blew me and the boy would be like just try like wait until you're like on the edge of puking, like it's bits like your snot's chocolatey, like and you just there'd be like one or two things left and you'd be like them, just leave them. leave them until the girl cousin's finished at least one item. I know I could use her name, Georgina. She's extraordinary at chocolate hoarding. And she's moved to Australia now, a country where chocolate doesn't last. You'd see chocolate go off very quickly.
I bet she's seen it bloom.
Wow. Yeah. She's waited so long for it. And the other thing I loved about Easter egg hunts is we always did them in the garden. It was always at my nana's house. And there would be so many little eggs, you'd never get them all. And... every single year, months later, I'd be playing in that garden normally, not in an Easter egg hunty way, and find a cabbage cream egg, for example, betwixt the branches of a tree. And you'd be like, ooh! And often it would look perfect, and you'd get to it, and something had burrowed and eaten it from the other side out. And it would be an empty foil shell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There are a few occasions where I ate an Easter egg from that was obviously meant for 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They're disgusting. Mm. And because you don't even find it on Easter. Find it then Easter 2 years later. So then that's when you'd eat it. And then you'd be like, Mum and Dad, why did you buy this? But we used to have to divvy them up as well amongst me and my sister. And, it'd be sort of evenly divided. Then my sister would eat hers immediately. And I would again space mine out gradually over the course of a few days. But then my sister would complain that she didn't have any left. And my parents would go, can you give some to Janelle, please? And it was like, why is the only person who has to learn a lesson from this me?
Yeah.
every year without fail.
It is a bizarre thing, isn't it? I remember someone sending me an article about how weird it is that we tell children sharing's caring when, like, essentially teaching them that if someone comes up and goes, can I have your laptop? You have to go, yeah, then. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, okay, yeah. I mean, there's a kindness behind it, I'm sure. The other thing I remember, and I think you two are younger than me, I'm 39, but when I was a kid, Easter eggs came with a mug under it.
Yeah.
Do the audience remember this?
You'd have, like, so, I don't know, none of mine are surviving, but you'd have a mini eggs mug, you'd have, like, a whisper mug. What happened to the mugs?
Well, I tell you what, I am traumatised by these mugs, and I can't drink out of mugs till to this day, because I got a Smarties Easter egg in a Smarties mug, and the Smarties mug was, like, dark brown with, like, the Smarty dots on it, and I'd got it out of the cupboard, And I'd maybe put some water in, and well, probably it was probably Coke, wasn't it? It was Pepsi, and I'd put that in, and that was dark brown, and then I'd put it to my lips, and there was the biggest spider of all time, and I saw it like here, right next to my face, and I had my mouth open, I was like and then I saw it, and I threw the mug, and honestly, since that day, I've never ever drank out of a mug again. Can't do it.
What?
And yeah, I don't. I can't even have them in my house.
What the fuck?
Any mug? Yeah, seriously. All right. Come on.
But do you drink hot drinks?
I only drink hot chocolate, but it has to be out of like a plastic mug.
Okay. And if I...
it's fun to hear an adult say that.
Why is so mental? I've got a mug in my house that's plastic. It's pink, and it's massive, and it's what you're meant to put soup in the microwave. Mm. And now and again, I'll have like a hot chocolate in this like pint mug.
Yeah.
And I'll be on Zoom or something, and I'll just like go for a swig, and I was like, whoa, what's that? Like, no spiders in this.
The eggs came in the mug, didn't they?
But yeah.
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 Now, how big would the egg be if Sports Direct made Easter? I had the last time I remember them doing mugs was 2008, I think, because I took them with me to uni. I had a Yorkie one and a Kit Kat one.
Yes.
And they survived.
Very manly Easter egg.
Oh yes, of course. Then they survived until 2019. When my girlfriend and I moved in together, and
yeah,
she was
goodbye.
Like,
goodbye.
Those are
fucking goodbye.
Go. Yeah. She was like, those are going, and we're getting a second towel.
Yeah, I've noticed a slow and steady, like, vanishings of all of my novelty one-off mugs now that I lived with someone with taste. Absolutely resent that. By the way, I'm having a salted caramel Cadbury's egg.
Oh, wow.
I've had one before in my life, and it's revelatory.
I've already eaten the white chocolate one.
How
I was going to say,
can we get a review?
It's incredible.
Nice. That'll do.
I thought the white chocolate one was like the winning one. Are you not supposed to eat?
It's half and half.
Is it half?
Half,
oh.
Half.
What happens if you get half and half when you get £1 million?
If you don't eat it.
Never get that.
Oh, Jess bought it.
No.
What if you?
If we got one
it?
Here, we'd have to do. We'd have to find
but
something brilliant to do with it.
Yeah. What would we do?
£10,000. Oh, it's a good thing you could do with that.
Therapy for my mug phobia.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like you have more than £10,000 worth of therapy.
Yeah. Although for free, I'll tell you, the phobia's probably not the issue. It's the mugs. It's the spider, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I'm scared of spiders.
Yeah. Imagine if you're fine with spiders now. It's just mugs.
Yeah. You're a house full of spiders. Loads of pet spiders. Tarantula in every room.
Oh, come around. There's a bug in the shower.
You have to put like a spider on a mug and then put a piece of paper.
Have you two both done comedy at this festival before and done gigs in Leicester before, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until this day, what's the most interesting thing you've ever eaten in Leicester?
My favourite place in Leicester, I like Bunk, if anyone's been to Bunk. Very chicken wing-y place.
Nice.
Which is great. And do you know what? The venue we're in, Brewdog, I think this is not a slight on the quality of Brewdog's food, but if ever I'm indulging in food, I very much enjoyed a sort of quantity over quality approach. And
nice.
So I'm more led by how big the portion is rather than what the actual sort of food is. And Brewdog are very generous with their portions.
Okay.
I used to find it really cathartic after gigs and stuff, just getting the biggest possible burger, the biggest possible like loaded fries, mac and cheese, and then a pint of IPA, whatever. It was just that was always what I'd go for, yeah.
It's a Ooh. Great post-gig feast.
Yeah.
Have you ever incredible. Eaten in Leicester? Have you always
I don't
been
think so. Well, no, I must have done, but I think it was, yeah, the classic in your venue. But while you went for quantity, I went for, like, cheapness. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what can I get that's the basic? And it's always like, can I have unsalted chips in a bowl? But not a mug.
yeah, bold. There better not be any handles on it.
I think it was purely led by the post-gig sort of element, I think, of it. I was doing a show in Exeter a couple of weeks ago, and I basically ran off stage because there was a Brewdog round the corner, and the season finale of La Happy Valley was on. So I got my laptop out in there and I was set up his burger. It was really, really sort of nice experience. But I was just about to suck into my burger and obviously it was Happy Valley, so all the lines were sort of like, we found traces of semen at the crime scene. Well, the mac and cheese was nice as it lasted.
I no spoilers intended here, I don't think it does. I found, ever since watching, I'm still only three or four episodes into The Last of Us, but... I tried to eat enoki mushrooms the day after watching episode two of that. Couldn't do it.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, it's and I don't know what the scary. Mushrooms are.
The mushrooms are like long, they're those long, thin, white, beige ones little cap, and they're really delicious, but they come in little sprouts, and it's revealed within seconds, but it's Last of Us is set in an apocalypse where a cordyceps, like a fungus, has taken over humanity, and how they spread. One of the ways they spread it is that they sort. It could also ruin kissing. Actually, they sort of get their mouth close to your mouth, and then these like mushrooms come out and go into your.
And if you've been affected by any of the issues. I like those particular mushrooms, the one you were talking about eating, because it took a very brave person to try those in the first place.
Yeah,
I don't know why we bother with mushrooms. It's not worth the risk. It's never made sense to me. The option is either it tastes fine or you die.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why we ever did. I've got the same issue.
You say that. Sometimes you can just be paralysed.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, champions. I'm only flipping interrupting myself, but it's worth it because we need to discuss some of the excellent responses you've sent in to me in answer to the question, has an animal in your life ever eaten anything intended for a human? Let's start with this voice note from Rachel, who, can I just say, comes to see my comedy the appropriate amount of times, which everyone else should also be aspiring to.
When I was at Edinburgh Fringe last summer, when I saw you three times, I was staying with a dog and a cat. And the back door was in the kitchen, and it was unclear which doors were meant to be open at which times. There was a day where I had to come back late from seeing a show, and so I hadn't seen my friends that I was staying with. And I saw in the kitchen that there was a pizza-shaped box on the side, and I presumed it was empty, so I didn't think that I had to close the kitchen door. But anyway, I got a text from her that was like, oh, the dog has eaten chocolate because we had this chocolate calzone that came for free with our pizza delivery, and we didn't want to eat it because it was 5 kilograms of Nutella in a calzone. And so now we have to go to the vet, and I'm really annoyed because they just gave us the calzone and we didn't even want it. So the dog was fine. She was quite bouncy by the time we were all home.
Whoa, 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 whoa! That's one lucky dog. I'm sure. I'm not surprised the dog was fine. I'm pretty sure Nutella is 99.9% pure, whole nut, healthy, whole gut friendly nut. Yeah, I'm not a sweet tooth, but Nutella is the exception. I could drink that shit like water. Thank you very much. In the right mood. Now, the next question I asked was: have you or anyone you've witnessed ever eaten anything particularly memorable whilst in transit, on the move, on transport? And lads, as ever, you have excelled in your stories. Thank you. We'll start with a WhatsApp message from Alice, who says: on holiday in Cornwall as a kid, I remember my mum and auntie taking the absolute piss out of some other campers who had a cut-glassed canter of wine on their plastic camping table. Imagine packing that in with your buckets and spades. Camping wankers. Saying that, there is something gloriously with Nell and I about that, I think, the cut-glass decanter. Also, the few times I've endured camping as an adult, I won't lie, I've taken my entire bed set. So I've decided that I personally have zero platform from which to judge. Okay, Emma now. Emma on Instagram says she once saw a woman just chomping a big block of cheese at the red light in rush hour traffic. I'm glad that Emma's followed that with a perfect hand gesture emoji, because I'm not going to lie, Emma, I fucking love the sound of her cheese red light lady. Okay, now we've got an Instagram message from Showerscape UK. okay, they say, a lady sitting next to me whipped out a hard-boiled egg on a plane once. I was pregnant at the time and had a very heightened sense of smell. Who does that? She just got it out of her pocket and started peeling it. That is not okay, Showerscape UK. Really enjoying calling a human Showerscape UK. They're representing their business, but or they've accidentally messaged the podcast from their work account. Boiled eggs are an at-home food, people. They are an at-home food, or at very least, an open-air food. Ben Ryder tells us he was on the tube once and a guy just sat there with a box of chicken from a takeaway. Ben then writes, it was late in the evening, though. I am delighted, Ben, that he'd met your chicken curfew cut-off point. Alice Mahoney now says, my friend bought a baked potato with cheese and beans to the cinema. I'm into it. I'm fucking into that. I think that it's reminded me of when my dear friend Archangel, we met at to go to the theatre, like, I can't remember, some serious theatre, it's a long time ago, and she brought homemade hummus into a theatre to eat during the show that it stank of raw garlic, and she had that with loud, loud crunchy carrot, and we all just looked at her, and she was like, what? We were like, fuck, you fucking put that away. We made her put it away and starve, and rightly so. The other things you've sent me are also brilliant. Oh, we haven't got time for it all here. The things you've seen people eat on the move include plain hot mince. Oh, cold pasta, but with their hands. Somebody was very annoyed that someone wasn't having a hot dog, that it had turned out to be a carrot. You're brilliant, you lot. Long story short, thank you for your excellent stories, and I need you to know I've become inordinately more mindful of what I bring on my train picnics after reading all of these, so thank you, I think. I've loved hearing from you. More questions coming all the time. Make sure you're following at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Let's get back into the podcast.
Grandiose.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiose.
Talk to me about something you've had to eat as part of your work as a comedian, or if you've done acting, stuff like that. Amy, in your last photo shoot for your current show that's on tour at the moment, there's you've got like lipstick made out of what's it dust.
Yeah. That was a brilliant day.
Oh, yes! Oh. I love to hear it. And you're like drinking gravy from up high. Yeah. Is it illusion or did you get to really
no,
do
I
it?
No, I did it. I don't think they wanted me to. I think they were actively like, no, you don't have to. And I was like, oh, what? Oh, it's like, no, we don't actually have an unlimited supply. Have you got the pictures? Yes, we've got them now. You don't need to keep doing it. It's brilliant. So they smashed up some Wotsits. Well, I did it on my niece.
You smash, did it, smash, yeah.
Crushed them up.
Out.
And then we just... they put some, like...
dab in your mouth.
Like, was it eyelash glue or something? They just put a little bit on my lips, and then we just like did it on like a crust. And then it was like the ultimate challenge.
Not to lick them.
Not to lick them. But I had them on my fingers as well, so I was like, and I was eating them as well. So it was like, which helped. Also, that day I tried Wotsits dipped in gravy, and they are amazing.
Oh my God, I would love to try that.
Yeah.
I'm worried about corrupting the gravy at the sauce.
I feel like a Wotsit isn't. The structural integrity of a Wotsit is quite weak, so I feel if you just dipped it in gravy, it would be like when someone falls into lava in a film. It goes in, but then nothing comes out.
Yeah, it's just a skeleton. We'll learn if a Wotsit has a skeleton. Little cheesy skeleton dangling out of that. I think that the fact that the Wotsit's got such feeble structural integrity is part of the joy of the jeopardy of any dunk. Like, the sturdier the biscuit, the less kind of high the stakes are in terms of how much of it's going to come back out or what you're going to be left with in terms of bottom of that. I'm sorry, I'm going to use the M word, mug scud. Yeah. Oh, God, someone get her a spider.
I also did this show called Comedians Versus Food.
Oh.
And it was, it was me, and I'm in this double act, and the double act partner was on the other side of this screen, and it was a competition where we just had to eat more than the other person, but you could sort of, like, psych them out. So I'd be saying to Chris, I'd be like, oh, I don't like this. So he'd be going really slowly, and I'd be like... But we had to pick the foods to try and get each other.
Oh, and one of the things, their food.
Well, you can pick stuff that you know that they don't like.
Yeah.
And
it's like Don't Tell the Bride, but...
It's like Don't Tell the Bride! But over four courses.
Yeah.
And he thought he'd psych me out by picking oysters.
Mmm, I love oysters.
Well, I don't really like them, but he sort of... I don't think he understood the game, and he doesn't like them either. So these oysters came, and I managed one... And I was like listening because I couldn't hear what he was doing. And I could just hear him going, has anyone got a bucket? And he tried one, but he hated them so much that he just puked it back up, so I won.
Oh, shit.
Idiot.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't actually like mukbang, like smash as much in as you can. The food was so weird.
It was
then
peculiar.
It was about whether you could,
you
can do more than one oyster, basically.
Exactly. And there was no waste, which I was very happy about because the crew could have it.
Great.
But there was an element of just like, eat as much as you can as well.
Yeah.
And I had to sit outside on the curb for a while afterwards. Because of the mixture of things, because I picked like candy floss, because I know I can bang through sugar. So it's like oysters, candy floss, sausage sandwiches. You know, it's like, oh, God.
It's a fucking head fuck, I think, because you, as much as, like, in theory, like, I think that sounds really fun to be like, you've got to have a great big feast if it's food you want.
Yes, yeah.
I fucking love eating loads. Like, I definitely go for quantity over quality depending on what mindset I'm in. And I think you get people who are like, don't like feeling full, and I fucking love feeling full. Like, I love that thing. I actually genuinely enjoy that. Mild discomfort brings me pleasure. But I also love stopping, and I want control over that, and I don't know if I'd fare very well in a situation where I was like, anyone was going, keep going. I'd probably snap at someone and make them cry. Have you ever had to eat anything memorable as part of work?
Yeah, I did. For stand-up sketch show, which is like a show where they show you doing your stand-up set. And then you film like a sort of Crime Watch-esque sort of reconstruction of it in which everyone's like miming along to the words you said. And so I had a particular thing where it was the idea was I'd had an argument with like a housemate because they'd asked if I'd done the washing up, and I claimed I had, but I hadn't. And then I was visibly eating cornflakes out of a vase. And they filled up this vase full of milk and cornflakes, and we had to do about... But I realised I talked way too quickly, and so it was really difficult for everyone to... mime along realistically with my words. So it took about 20 takes. And each time we kept having to pour more milk in, soggy, sodden cornflakes. And also there was something about eating... they felt like there were someone else's cornflakes. And I feel like cereal's not a food you'd ever share.
No.
Do you have some? And so, like, it just felt like eating someone else's leftover cornflakes was so grotesque. I had to do that over the course of a whole afternoon. And then the next day we were filming a scene sort of in a restaurant where it was like a nice sort of fancy dinner. And they were like, oh, we need you to do that classic thing where, you know, like where people are having a conversation over food and TV and they keep, you know, aiming their fork at someone and they keep stirring the food around but they never take a bite. And then I got halfway through the meal and I was like, well, why did I have to eat the fucking cornflakes then? Why did you need to see me eat those? But I was kind of fine with it because I, I have no idea why or how I can turn off my taste buds, like at will.
What?
Yeah, and my sister can and my dad can't. So me and my sister must have inherited it from my dad. My mum can't.
What?
Yeah. Well, I know. It's really hard to explain, but if we just don't want to taste something, we just decide not to taste it.
Have some chocolate error, mint chocolate error.
Well, I could, but yeah, and I just wouldn't taste it. But the thing is, it wouldn't work.
What do you do? Do you bypass a part of your tongue?
No, it's just a decision. It's like a decision.
Wow.
Shut up, it's like magnesium.
The closest thing I can compare it to is, you know, if you like you hold your nose, you can't really, that stops you from tasting stuff if you hold your nose.
Yeah, but it's also harder to swallow.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of, it feels like that sensation, but we're not actually doing anything with our mouths or anything like that. It's just like a decision.
It's a psychological.
But yeah, I was able to do it from like the age of 4. I just thought everyone could do it.
Shut up.
Yeah, but it's...
Like Derren Brown, but in the mouth.
But it's not... The problem is, it's not useful.
It is useful.
It is useful. Sorry. It's useful.
It would have been useful when I was a straight woman.
But that, I think that therein lies the problem.
Right.
Is that, like, if someone... Because people have sometimes asked me, you're like, oh, could you literally eat, like, a dog turd then? It's like, well, no, because if I knew it was a dog turd, I'd know psychologically as a dog turd, I wouldn't be able to do it. But it was more just that it made me a very polite eater.
Yeah.
And it was very handy at this bar. I used to live in Sheffield, and there was this bar where basically they'd give you a free round of drinks if you could drink the worst drink that the bartenders would make you. And you had to drink this awful concoction. They'd put in, like, egg liqueur and all this, and loads of stuff, and it would form a sort of cheese.
Like
and
advoca, it was that type of stuff.
Loads of those. They'd put in about 10 different drinks, and they'd pour it into, like, this pint glass. You just had to down the whole thing. I mean, I'd do it every time, and it was great. But then what would happen is you've been drunk a pint of pure, like, shots.
Yeah.
So my friends would enjoy the rest of the evening, and I wouldn't. But yeah, but then eventually the bartender sort of realised my downfall, because it doesn't work with spicy stuff. So they just make it as spicy as possible, and it's unbearable. But yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is amazing.
So for the cornflake thing in stand-up sketch show, it was easy to just not taste it, but the texture was still pretty grim.
Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten in order to avoid food waste?
Oh, it's a difficult one. I've eaten stuff that has definitely gone off, like, yeah. or that has been in the okay, this is going to make me sound really stupid, but does stuff go off if you put it in the freezer? Can stuff go off?
I have never... Oh, we've got a strong yes, actually.
Yeah, yes, okay. I thought so.
Well, the amount of times where it says, like, eat within a month, you think, well, what's the fucking point of having put it in there, then?
Well, yeah.
Surely it's got a year.
Well, I'm like, what's the point of freezing that? Like,
yeah.
It's encased in ice. Why did the bog man survive?
Like, there are...
well, not survive. Yeah. He didn't survive. He was specifically dead the whole time. Also, he was in a bog.
But there are
ice,
things that corrode when frozen slowly, aren't there? And, like, become a different form. Like, cream doesn't do very well frozen.
Or John Carpenter's The Thing.
You said no. There was a really confident no from the audience. Was it you? Oh, it's Fat Blue Man. Oh no, it's his friend. What happens to it?
So, probably to be clear, my dad used to own a supermarket, so occasionally stuff would end up in the back of it for last reasons.
Yeah.
But there are certain, it slows down bacteria, but it doesn't always kill everything.
Right.
If you get long enough, it will degrade. You can freeze thing and it basically breaks down to all the cells, it turns to mush.
Yeah.
You could still eat that, it's still edible, but if you leave it long enough, there are certain pathogens that will still grow, I believe.
Oh, I feel I've learned a lesson I should have learned much younger in my life.
I should add, you know, we are talking
years at that stage, okay. Yeah.
But I had some Sainsbury's chipolatas, this was about 10 years ago, and they were like encased in ice. And so they were defrosting all day, but I didn't want to get rid of them. And I ate them, and then my housemate came in and asked basically why I was eating green chipolatas. I'm colourblind, so that was news to me.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Were you ill?
Yes.
Did it give you the shits?
I don't really remember.
I've
never had food poisoning.
Haven't you?
No. And I
fucking hell.
This Lord knows I've tried.
Lord knows I've tried.
I've tried so hard, yeah.
Have you had food poisoning?
Oh, loads. I'm terrible. I don't believe any of the dates where it says,
neither.
Have it by then. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
What's a week or two or a month going to live? My Google search history is always like, can you still eat blank?
Yeah.
So I think the latest one was, can you still eat potatoes? You know, if they've got the sprouting or the little potatoes.
I'll still eat them.
Yeah, that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just like
just
to
chop
check.
The sprouts off.
But this, yeah. That's something I've never been able to get on board with. Oh, just on the jar of jam, just take off the layer.
Why?
Geez, just scrape it off. I'm like, it's bad. It must have gone. It must have permeated and gone.
I think it's good for you.
Yeah.
I think it helps your gut health garden, but I'm worried that the two men in the front row are going to tell me I should definitely already be dead. But should you not eat jam that's got... Jam's fine, take the layer off. A scientist who understands fat blooms has made it official.
But I think it's like you remember what it looked like. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what the issue is.
I don't mind what it looked like, but I love blue cheese. I love like, and I think I got some snazzy cheese as a present, and one of them, and I think it was like a really fusty heart. I think it was a cheddar though, but it said like on the thing, it must be so used to people going that's gone. It was like it's meant to be full of veins and cracks and stuff.
Do you reckon Cravendale have ever tried to do that? The milk is meant to be solid? Actually. That's what's weird. With cheese, I really like blue. I like the strongest, bluest, but I really want a cheese that will fuck me up.
Yeah.
Really treat me badly.
Burn it.
But for some reason, if I've left some cheddar in the fridge and it's got a few bits of mould on it, I'm like, get out of my life. I don't want real double standards. If it came mouldy, great. If I myself am responsible for the mould, I do not trust myself with the mould.
Yeah, flipping heck, amazing.
Oh, I contain multitudes.
Of hypocrisies, don't we all? What's the furthest in advance you've ever planned a specific bit of eating? Did it live up to it? Could it ever have done? I really look forward to things.
Yeah.
Eating wise, like I think if I've got somewhere near, I haven't been to, there's a Vietnamese place near me that I haven't been to for ages, and I think I'm going to be going there on Saturday, and that's like a week away, and I know that I will have upwards of 3 erotic thoughts about that a day and it's just a lovely thing. I think the anticipation of eating is such a crucial part of eating.
I would do it for tour dates. I would look weeks in advance and be like, oh, I'm in Leeds that day, do they have any real like barbecue-y American briskety, just loads and loads of just layers of meat, where's that? I'll book it months in advance and then that is what I will fixate all my thoughts on, and it will be what I'm thinking about when I'm on stage. Sorry Leeds, but like it's the whole time. But I used to, I will punish myself in order to increase the benefits of rewards. So I used to do really punishing Lents every year. And so I used to go, right, okay, for Lent, I will go vegan, I'll give up alcohol, give up fizzy drinks, I'll give up pizza, I'll give up sweets, I'll give up chocolate, I'll give up all these things.
This pleasure pain dance.
In order to have the greatest Easter Saturday at midnight you could possibly have. And then I would plan it, I would find myself just Googling safe search off just Papa John's. I just find myself just looking at Papa John's and looking at all the different permutations and going, but I could have extra ham. And working out what sides I'd get and stuff like that. I planned it all out sort of meticulously. And then the meal would be everything I wanted it to be.
To hear that, Amy.
Well, can I just say, if we do get one of them half and half eggs, I'd like to share my counselling with Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a planner.
Fair play.
Really?
No, yeah, I think that's a lovely way to live.
Do you
as
think?
Well. Yeah, I do. Because I think sometimes
brilliant.
I can get stressed out by... Oh, well, I think the joy in anticipation, but also... The problem with being a planner, and I don't know if you get this going, but the other day I decided to make this like gnocchi bake, and I had most of the ingredients, but not gnocchi, and that maybe that is quite crucial. It turned out to be a full supermarket job, and that was like 2 hours of my that day preciously small working day gone. Tried the Turkish food centre, didn't have it. Had to go, stopped at like Tesco Metro, didn't fucking have it. Stopped at somewhere else, had to fucking pay for 15 minutes parking, co-op, didn't fucking have it. Had to try a bigger co-op, God, they had it. But every supermarket I got to, I was thinking, you could just use pasta.
But I'm so, like, yeah. The plan said Nucky. Just hungry.
That's the downside to planning ahead, is if one element goes slightly awry, then it just, like, the amount of times I've, like, after, say, like, a long drive after a gig, have just planned out in my head a victory McDonald's on the way home, and you've got it all planned out, and you go there, and they go, oh, the milkshake machine's broken. It's like, why don't I just take off my own head, then? Why don't I do that? shall I do that in front of you?
Quick fire questions. Ever stolen food?
Unintentionally.
Oh.
Unintentionally stole from Selfridges, because I was walking past it on the way home one day. I've never been in Selfridges before, but I was in there and I saw they had Lucky Charms, and I was like, oh, my sister would like those, and I would also like those, and so I got some, and then I carried on looking around Selfridges being like, oh God, this is incredible, I can see why people talk about this shop, this is very expensive, it looks very nice, and I just very happily walked out with my pockets bulging. That was the first favourite reference.
My brother nicked an industrial box of, you know, red laces, red sugary laces, nice. When I was little, and I found them and in the night, and I ate them all. I think there was like 2,000 laces. And I was being very sick, red, out of my nose and mouth, and my parents didn't know I'd eaten the laces, so they were like, we need to go to hospital. And I was like, And then they were like, no, she seems fine. Like, she seems absolutely fine. And I was like, I've eaten 2,000 red laces. I'm sorry, I didn't want to say.
Oh, my God, incredible. Crisps or cake?
Crisps.
Crisps.
Me too. What a great panel.
But I don't like either.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, genuinely. Who are you?
Both of you, we're going to need to do another podcast another time.
Sorry. Not
really, I need to know more about that. Not like a crisp. You sure you hadn't accidentally turned your taste buds off? Okay, final quickfire question. American actor and comedian Tiffany Haddish eats gherkins stuffed with either a Jolly Rancher or a peppermint. How does that make you feel in three words?
Okay. Apart from... Oh, fuck.
Fourth word.
No, okay, apart from...
Sounds dead mad.
Yeah, really nice.
Now it's time for the big then question.
The Easter Bunny makes love to Magneto and creates a supervillain baby which can manipulate not just all forms of magnetism, but also for a quarter of the year, all children, and with regards to some retail, it can also manipulate the markets. It's awful. Everyone's dead from broken electronic fields and chocolate drowning ponds. I think I deserve more. It's agreed to stop having ever existed, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Amy and Glenn, agree to, as a pair, both speaking one word at a time, taking turns, you have to talk Putin down. All the while trapped in an adult-sized version of one of those bouncers that you trap babies in by dangling them off a door frame. It sounds impossible, but...
You can do it!
Your reward is the adulation of all people for all time. You've saved us from a disgusting apocalypse, but your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you're the happiest and hungriest you've ever been, is the feast of your dreams. It's the opposite of a last meal. It's the best meal. What would you have? There are no consequences to anything you have, and anything is possible.
A Chicago Town pepperoni pizza.
In the microwave?
Yes.
Yep.
With another Chicago Town pepperoni pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And you seal them up into a pizza bowl. And you eat it like a sandwich.
It's fucking hell.
Absolutely sensational.
I'm imagining you doing that with one of those 80s plastic baby's bibs that's got like a little... it's got like a little scoopy catcher.
Yeah.
Sort of...
The remnants, the detritus afterwards is the thing that really makes it, because it's a mixture of hardened cheese and then just these bits of... pepperoni that haven't discernibly come from any living creature, but they just it's so perfect.
Spiced
it's so
shards perfect. Yeah. Of something with a bit of give. Yeah, you'd need a fork, wouldn't you, for the post remnants?
No,
sorry, Amy. Yes.
Just
no,
hands.
He wouldn't. No, just hands. Sorry,
just burnt
my
hands.
Bad. My bad.
I immediately had a very strong image, and then I thought, don't say that. But the image is so strong, nothing else has come. So what I thought of was. A Yorkshire pudding the size of a bathtub, in a bathtub.
Yes.
Filled with tarragon mash, right? Mm. But then in the image, I'm in the mash.
Yes! Yes!
I'm in the mash, oh in the bathtub, God. And yes, I've got just a little jug of gravy. And then just a big, like, ladle that I'm just scooping yeah. some mash, breaking off some Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
I regret fucking, not choosing yeah. one you're that costs £2.
Please give a round of applause to my amazing guests, Amy Glover.
Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you so much. You've been amazing. Enjoy the rest of the festival. Thank you. Take care.
Hoovering Podcast.
What an absolute treat. Follow Amy Gledhill and Glenn Moore on social media at once, please. More importantly, go and see them do stand-up live. They are both delivering an absolute masterclass in the craft of comedy just now. I honestly couldn't rate either of them more highly. Please go and see them. Listen to Sturdy Girls Club on BBC Sounds, my new Radio 4 series. And of course, it goes without saying, but have a delicious Easter. Or if you don't like the E word, enjoy your spring-weathered chocolatey Christmas instead. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.